Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We are going to talk about the American Canoe Association this morning. Kelsey Bracewell is in from the American Canoe Association. Kelsey, it's great to have you here. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
You have been in here before with others, but this is the first time we can actually sit down and we'll talk American Canoe Association stuff and just a lot of safety stuff. You are what, safety education instruction. Is that kind of what you do with ACA?
Yeah. ACA does a lot of different things, but I direct their education and outreach department.
The interesting thing about the American Canoe Association is it's a national organization, but based in Fredericksburg.
Yeah, so it is a national nonprofit. It's a member-based organization, so we serve the interests of the members, but we also have members, I think, in 35 other countries as well. But yes, there is only one main office, and it's right here in Fredericksburg.
How did you get involved in this?
How did I? Oh, goodness. Well,
this will be a long story, I have a feeling.
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up doing outdoor activities, you know, and I got into paddling mainly in college, some when I was younger, but primarily that. And I ended up, you know, traveling about doing other outdoor activities and recreation-related work. But I moved here to Fredericksburg for this job 11 years ago. Straight out of grad school, so that's kind of what brought me here.
You've been here for 11 years. I've only known you for a few years. Where have you been all this time?
Yeah, well, this is my 11th year here in town, of course, but also with the job. I graduated from grad school on a Saturday, and I started work here on a Monday, and never really did anything else in between.
What kind of a major did you do, and what you know, in preparation for making this a career? What kind of things did you do?
Well, you know, I originally thought that I was going to be an outdoor educator, you know, and spend my time in the woods and on the river as my occupation.
Yeah.
But I went to undergrad in a really small school called Brevard that's outside of Asheville, North Carolina, in the western side of the state. And my major was wilderness leadership and experiential education. So that is what kind of led me into taking classes in rock climbing and kayaking and navigation and camping and all that stuff, right? And I was fortunate enough to get a graduate assistantship at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a great opportunity to get a full ride to get a master's in recreation and sports science. And just through the connections I had made through those two places and the skills I had gained over those two educational opportunities, this job became available, or at least the 11 years ago version of it, I'll say.
Yeah.
And I applied. And back at that time, I remember I actually like printed my resume on like fancy resume paper and like put it in the mailbox. And I was really proud of myself. And of course, I emailed it as well. And then I got a call within an hour of when I put it in the mailbox. It didn't even get out of the box, you know. And I was just, you know, really fortunate that the leadership at that time saw what they wanted, you know, in me. And I've been here ever since. The job's evolved an awful lot. And actually, in the time that I've been here and working full-time, I also had the opportunity to get an MBA from Mary Washington, so I feel like I further threaded myself through the community and the other, you know, institutions here along the way.
Well, you have, and I know in recent years, anybody that I ever talked to, or it's whenever you're talking river or safety or different things, people will say, have you met Kelsey? You've got to meet Kelsey. And so that I was last year was when you first came in that I first that I first met you. I guess you've seen did the pandemic, did people start using the river more? Did you see a big upturn when the pandemic came? Or I go by when especially driving over the bridge on the Blue Gray Parkway. I'm just amazed on nice days to see just how many people are out on the river these days.
Yes, most certainly. I mean, you could ask, you know, anybody who works in retail when it comes to outdoor clothes or outdoor equipment and supplies, backpacks, hiking shoes, socks, any of that stuff, the demand went through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, people could not necessarily go into restaurants or amusement parks or the other things that they entertained themselves and their families with, so they went to the great outdoors. You know, you saw a huge boom in use of of national parks, you know, of state parks, or also in our cases, different, you know, city resources. But there was a huge shortage of equipment, you know, and then, of course, a corresponding kind of use of all of these public access areas. But then if you, certainly in the realm of paddling, or even such things as hiking and day tripping, a huge like increase in rescues or of accidents or of people who were excited to get out there and try something new because they couldn't necessarily mm-hmm. access other indoor activities that they were most familiar with, they maybe were slightly unprepared and got themselves in a tough spot, or maybe, you know, impacted their perspective of that activity because it wasn't fun. They got lost. They got hurt. They lost some of their stuff. They didn't really know what they were in for, any of those other things. But I saw, in terms of paddling, a lot of data that came out of the Coast Guard and an organization called the Outdoor Industry Association, where they talk about participation rates by age groups and demographics and specific activities. You know, you have different people who, there's a huge demand. I mean, you can't even find bicycles these days. They're still hard to find.
Yeah, I know.
Fishing equipment, you know, kids-sized gear and stuff like that has been really hard to find even still. And just like every other kind of activity in the country, there's still huge shipping delays and other like inventory gaps. But all of that being said, the reason that stuff exists is because people are chomping at the bit to go and explore and do all those things. And the use is up. The maintenance needs are up for some of those public areas. But that's, I feel like we can capitalize on that opportunity rather than just being like, oh, there's too many people and they're everywhere. Like, let's take a chance to engage and educate and have a good time.
Yeah, no, you hope, just because for years we keep hearing about getting exercise and the obesity problem with kids and society in general. And this is a chance to like you say, really capitalize on it.
Yeah, I really do. And the outdoors offer so many things. Of course, physical benefits, but emotional and mental as well. And so this can be a great opportunity for people to enjoy the outdoors, enjoy some of the other businesses and other, you know, organizations that have popped up to accommodate those people.
We're getting into a lot of this as we go along this morning. Kelsey Bracewell here from the American Canoe Association. AmericanCanoe.org is their website if you want to check that out. We'll take a break and continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kelsey Bracewell in this morning from the American Canoe Association. Just back real quick about the fact the American Canoe Association, based in Fredericksburg. I mean, You could have been based anywhere. I think it's just so interesting that that Fredericksburg was chosen.
Yeah. So I mean, ACA does stuff all over the country.
Yeah.
And in 35 other countries as well. Kind of, if I were to categorize ACA in two ways, we are a member-based organization, right? And we try to meet paddlers no matter where they are, what craft they're in, what level of experience or lack of experience they have. How do they want to experience the water, and how can we facilitate that for them? And two really big ways that we do that is being the national certifying body. So people who work at summer camps or with youth groups or for outfitters, and they teach kayaking or canoeing, or they're raft guides, you know, or they're, you know, SUP yoga teachers, stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? We provide the curriculum and the policies and the insurance coverage that make that possible for both small businesses and individual people. But on a totally separate arm, we're also the national governing body for the Olympic sports of canoe and kayak and the Paralympic sport of para canoe. So when you watch the Summer Olympics or some of these like big international competitions and you see USA canoe and kayak, that's us as well. And so we're doing these really big things all over the world, you know, in Tokyo 2020 and all that stuff. But there's only one office, and we're right here in Fredericksburg. And that's in part due to the other like-minded organizations that kind of petitioned and invited us here, the city of Fredericksburg. And we realized that this is a special place, that we can do these big things,
yeah,
but deeply relate and serve this community too.
Yeah, I knew, but I was going to ask you about the Olympics, because I remember the past few Olympics since the office has been here in talking about that. That is so cool that you know that you're involved in that. But the other things, like you mentioned, I mean, you from the Olympics all the way down to just certifying and providing curriculum, there really are some beneficial things that you all provide.
Yeah, and we also have tons of just public free, you know, resources about videos, online coursework, reports, brochures, infographics, all these things that people, you can just Google it if you do, you know, to try and find information. We try to provide all sorts of levels of info based on whatever topic it is that you need on that day to get onto the water and have a safe and fun time.
So if someone's getting onto the water for the first time, obviously you shouldn't just, you need to do a lot of things to get ready to do that kind of thing. I mean, and that's where I guess ACA comes in.
Yeah, well, I mean, it can be really complicated and it can be rather simple, but I do think one of the first things to do is to find the information you need. If that means that you go to ACA's website, fantastic. If that means that you call the local outfitter, mm-hmm. great. If that just means you call a friend of yours who has a ton of experience, you know, admitting to yourself that you don't know what you don't know and trying your best to figure that out before you go is critical, you know. But if you'd like, we can talk about some of the other details in there. But I do think that with any activity, be it paddling or biking, or you're driving to someplace you've never been, you look up the instructions and the directions before you go. That same mindset can apply here.
Right. Yeah. So like you say, no matter how you get there, you're going to need some information and get it. And, you know, it may be one source, but maybe many sources.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff online, but there's lots of knowledgeable people. There's, you know, books and maps and, you know, all sorts of stuff that you can find, and just taking the time to critically think about it and admit when you don't know something that you should prepare before you get there.
Well, and the Rappahannock provides, the Rappahannock can provide, it's through the city of Fredericksburg, it's a challenge. There are various parts of the Rappahannock that are much different in sometimes in really short areas.
Yeah, well, the Rappahannock is fantastic to be here in Fredericksburg, in part because a lot of it has roadside access. You know, one, if you, of course, are on there and need to get out, it's not as challenging as some other wilderness areas, but also the general fact that the public can see it from the road. You know, and if you can see it, you can imagine yourself there and you can wonder about it. You can see some of the businesses that operate there or are literally right there on the shoreline, and kind of get some ideas of where you can go to find that information or the equipment that you need or the access that you need.
So I had the most incredible adventure with you this summer, and I don't think anything can match it. We went in a raft down the as far as distance goes how far we went, but it was a couple of hours and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, so we went from the Mott's Public Boat Launch on River Road, on that part of town, just down to Old Mill Park, so another great destination for outdoor activities here in Fredericksburg. It's about five and a half miles we went.
Okay.
And I think it took us 2 hours on the dot, if I do recall.
I think so.
And I think there's a ton of beauty in the actual literal river itself. We saw so much wildlife and really cool rapids and other features and just scenery that you can't, you know, see from the road. But also we just took the time to enjoy the outdoors on whatever pace we went. You know, a lot of people, generally speaking, are in a hurry to get everywhere. They're busy, they're stressed, they're in traffic, mm-hmm. And they never take the time to appreciate going slow for what it's worth. And that's part of the reason that I love it, you know, is that we had a chance to just take it all in and enjoy it, explore, sit around and wait, you know, and then be on through the rapids as fast or as slow as we wanted.
Well, and that's a good point that you can do so many different things on the water, but just taking your time sometimes is just very therapeutic. And you certainly get a different appreciation parts of the river. You can't hear anything but nature.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many birds. Goodness gracious, you know, of course, that you can hear. Mm-hmm. But listening to the ripples of the water, or if you see fish or beavers or otters and the sounds that they make, you know, you may see some other people fishing and be able to have a pleasant conversation, not a get out of my way, you're cut me off in traffic kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Right? but then a chance to talk to one another without the distractions of phones or of, you know, other people talking loud, dropping stuff, you know, whatever, in restaurants or other places, you know. So on some parts of the Rappahannock, there are like feeder creeks and there's waterfalls, you know. If you sit still close enough, you can listen to rocks roll around on the riverbed. You know, it's just the simplicity of all of those things is actually really refreshing and pleasant.
Well, and you took your dog along, which was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, weirdly enough, my dog does not like to get wet. So half the time, he's not a huge fan. But I do also certainly advocate for the fact that you can bring your family, you can bring your dog if you, you know, are able to take care of them and understand their needs as someone other than yourself out there. But this can be an entire family fun activity.
Well, and you piloted the raft. And there were many times I thought, we're headed toward that rock. And you steered us by every single time. It was amazing.
Well, I think about it, reading water, right, is very similar to how you read the ground, right? So, Ted, when you're out hiking or walking around, right, and let's say you're in the woods and you can see, oh, there's a pothole right there. I know what it's going to be if I put my foot there.
Right.
Or there's a root from that tree and it's wet and it's slippery. If I step on that, I might slip, you know, or there's a bunch of loose gravel here. I need to watch my footing. The same kind of things, the way that you process that is the same way that you process the water. You know, there's a rock over there. There's a hydraulic over there. There's another person over there, you know, and just over enough experience and just like critical reflection on what it feels like to be on one part of water versus another, you learn how to read it and go in the right spot, generally speaking.
I've never heard that, but that does make sense.
Yeah, well, same thing.
Reading the water.
Yeah, people who ride bikes can read the pavement or the sidewalk, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the same concept applies. It just takes practice, and it just takes thought.
Well, as we went along, to me, you should be paddling forward, and you would know at different times, okay, I need three reverse paddles, or I mean, you knew that kind of thing. And I guess, like you say, that just comes with time.
Yeah, well, also kind of guiding a raft or captaining a raft, whatever you prefer to call that, part of the experience with that is knowing how to ask for help, right? I could not paddle that raft by myself. It's too big and heavy, but I needed the three of y'all, Ted and Keith and April from River Rock Outfitter.
Yeah.
Shout out to them for being amazing river people.
Yep.
You know, knowing how much power I need, how much speed that I need, and y'all were paddling forward, you know, or straight backwards most of the time, but I was ruddering and pulling and pushing and steering rather than motoring, kind of like y'all. And so that experience is a little bit different than maybe just in a solo canoe or kayak, right? But just like you said, the same thing is taking practice and trying to communicate with the people you're with so you can all work as a team.
Yeah, and that's what we were. It was a great experience. And as we got near the end, I was sad that we were at the end. It's the kind of thing you just think, I want this day to continue on. And I guess and that's what a lot of people are finding. And like we say, a lot of people are getting involved with outdoor activities on places like the Rappahannock.
Yeah, well, my plan certainly is to, when the conditions are right, for us to go again. And, you know, we can keep going as many times as you like, and the adventure never has to end.
I'm ready. I am totally, totally ready. Kelsey Bracewell here with the American Canoe Association. We talk about the river and all, and we'll continue this on even into the next segment. But so important, and even just going and standing by the river and seeing people out there, you still see too many people who are sometimes out in a tube or even in a kayak or canoe and not wearing life jackets. You'd like to see, you all talk about the need for everybody to do that, but unfortunately everybody still doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the issues that we see on the river, of course, that are both Fredericksburg City and Stafford County rescue departments have to respond to, are people who are being irresponsible. Some of that has to do with lack of experience or of lack of prior planning, right? But the majority of those accidents and issues can be alleviated by wearing a life jacket and making responsible choices, right? So, you know, not going down on an inflatable mattress, you know, from the store, or not, you know, being under the influence. you know, and keeping a control of yourself and your group. So if you're with a large mm-hmm. group, making sure you're within earshot of everybody, you can communicate, everybody agrees to follow instructions. All of these things can contribute to a more successful trip. But 9 times out of 10, the issues are people who get stuck or who get, you know, flip over their tube or their kayak or whatever, are not wearing a life jacket, struggle to swim. They get stranded or, God forbid, they drown. We can fix most of that with life jacket wear.
Yeah, life jackets. And I know in the past you've always talked about when you're out on these adventures to do them with other people. So you're not out there by yourself.
Yes, I never go paddling by myself, and I really do encourage people to go with a group and with people you trust, that if you get in a tight spot or they get in a tight spot, you can either directly have the skills and experience to help, or you know what to do to call for help or to go get help. So never go alone.
Well, and we all often hear, I've never experienced it, but you hear of people who talk just about just the roots and some of the things that are underneath the water that you don't know about and can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, a lot of times you might see it, you know, certainly with some of this weather we've had, gosh, in the past few months, trees that have fallen over
yeah.
in the river, debris that washes down when it floods. Yes, sometimes like root balls, oftentimes just rocks. You know, there's some big boulders out there that are undercut or weirdly shaped. That all boils down to the idea of entrapment. You know, getting your leg, your arm, your boat, your entire self stuck in an underwater tree or a root ball, right? Getting your leg wedged under an undercut rock, tangling yourself up. Let's say that you have a tube or a kayak and you have a rope stretching between you to another people, getting that tangled and stuff. It is significant that you can get entangled. And the issue is that you can't just turn the river off. It's not an amusement park, and it's going to continue to pull its current downstream until forever. It's never going to quit. You can't win. And so if you are standing in water that is deeper than the length of your own arm, right? If you can do a push-up and keep your face out of the water with the length of your arm, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anything deeper than that, you can drown in very, very easily. And so, well, certainly, even if you can do a push-up all day long, as soon as your arms give way,
right.
you can drown in a bucket. But my point, excuse me, is that not trying to stand up in moving water, getting yourself entrapped, keeping yourself aware and alert for hazards. That could be branches. That could be bridge pilings. That could be hydraulics of really strong current. It could be other boaters. It could be fishermen. I mean, it could be a lot of different things, but just being aware and purposefully moving out of the way of those items if you can.
Yeah. Good stuff. Kelsey Bracewell here with the American Canoe Association, AmericanCanoe.org, if you want to follow along about all the various things that they offer and find out more information. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Kelsey Bracewell here this morning from the American Canoe Association. She's involved with safety education and instruction and outreach with the American Canoe Association around here. AmericanCanoe.org is the website. Where are your offices located?
We're on College Avenue, right across the street from the University of Mary Washington.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't realize that. I thought I pictured you somewhere else, and so interesting. But again, here in the area, we talk about the need to wear a life jacket and to prepare. But I guess a lot of this stuff is you can prepare, but a lot of things happen probably for the first when they happen for the first time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whoever expects to. You know, crash their bike, right? You know, wearing your life jacket before you ever, you know, have a fear of falling out or getting into a crash is paramount. But there's a lot of other things that you can consider even when this stuff happens. And yeah, sometimes it's scary and it's unexpected, but trying to stay calm and kind of run yourself through the responsibilities that you have, either as the person in the water or the person who is trying to provide aid, you know, can help you structure the way that you go about this and recover everything that you may have lost or that you brought along with you.
I just think about it and just and think of scenarios and just think I would just be terrified. But I guess it does come down to just be calm and be able to think, just be able to rationally think things through as much as you can.
Yeah, so let's think about it this way. And I will say, after years of paddling, I have fallen out of my kayak more times than I can count.
But, I can't imagine that with you, but...
Well, you got to start somewhere. Everybody starts at the beginning, and there's no shame in that. But when you think about, a rescue scenario, right? Either yourself or somebody else. The first priority is yourself, whether you are in the water or you are the rescuer, right? Making sure that you are in a safe position to do something. If you aren't safe or it's not safe for you to rescue somebody, don't become a second person in the water.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to calm down and wait until you're in a better spot to perform this rescue or start. And that's okay sometimes, is to take a deep breath, let the situation settle a moment, and then start. But let's say your first priority in this whole situation is yourself. The next kind of priority on that list is the person in the water. So if you're the rescuer, it's that person, not their boat, not their paddle, not their life jacket, their water bottle, their telephone, whatever. It's them.
Them.
Right? You cannot replace that person, but you can buy a new boat, right? But let's say that person is safely on shore or safely on a stable rock or is holding on to your boat. You know, you can paddle up to them and they can just grab onto that handle on the front of your boat, right? It can be as simple as that. If they're safe, then you go after their big gear, their boat and their paddle. Okay, so that is what they need to get to their final destination, right? So those other big pieces of equipment are your next priority. And then, of course, after that, you might go after their sunscreen and their water bottle or, you know, their lunch or whatever else it is. You know, it'd be delightful to, gather everything that they brought, certainly for their own sake, but to not litter, you know, and leave stuff out there that doesn't need to be there. But just keeping in mind that if you can only rescue the person, prioritize that person.
The other, I've noticed too, it's especially this spring and summer, and it happens all the time, but I guess just being aware of it, the weather can change, or you have days that start off, and I can see situations where you would go out in the morning, and it's nice and calm, and all of a sudden the wind picks up, and the wind picks up significantly, and just things like that, or the water levels start to rise.
Yeah, so I think that certainly before you go out on any given day, check the weather the night before and check it the morning of that you're planning to leave. And if you know you're going to be out there for 4 hours versus six versus one, whatever it is, look ahead into the forecast to see if there's anything coming your way. And even if there isn't, you should plan ahead that it will change. Because, of course, especially if you're out on some open water or a large lake, that wind can kick up. You can get some waves and some white caps and that kind of thing. And preparing for that change. And essentially, the route that you have planned for that day, have a backup plan. You know, have a bailout point that if the weather gets too hard, you know where you're at in the general course of your trip and a safe place that you can go. Most of the time, that's shore, right? But being okay to, like, admit to yourself, this is too much for me. I need to get out. Even if you just wait half an hour and start again, or you can get out, walk to the road, you know, call an Uber, you know, call whoever you gave your float plan to.
Yeah.
But recognizing your limitations and getting out when you need to.
Interesting. And just knowing, just kind of have an idea where you're at and how you can get out. So talk about a float plan.
Yeah, well, so a float plan is, you can call that a simple piece of paper, but you also can do all these things online, of course. And it's kind of inputting all of the information that you need to successfully complete your trip and then give that plan to somebody else who's not on the water with you. So it essentially says, this is the day that I'm going there. This is how long I plan to be gone. I'm going to start at point A. I'm going to end at point B. I expect it to take this many hours. If I don't come back or contact you by a certain time, this is what you need to do. If that means call the rescue squad or call 911 or call the nearest outfit or whatever that choice may be, what are your local resources? But that includes for yourself, who's with you? Mm-hmm. You know, what equipment do they have? You know, and maybe what cars do they have? Are they in a red canoe versus a blue kayak versus whatever? Who should we be looking for, right? What experience do they have? What's their phone number? Just all this information, as if you were going on a journey someplace and someone needed to come looking for you, what would they need to know? And part of the exercise of completing that float plan is planning for the trip for yourself. So like the weather forecast, that's one piece of it. But you were saying earlier about water levels, right? Has it been raining an awful lot in the area, in the watershed? The river might rise on you if it has. Or if you're in the tidal section of the Rappahannock, right? which is from Route 1 and further down, the tides come up and go down twice a day.
Yeah.
So at certain times, that current is pushing really intensely up, right? Up into the river, or pulling straight out. And if you're if you're going against the tide, that'll be really tiresome. You know, you could get tired out, you could run out of water or food and just not have the fuel that you need to be fighting that tide. So plan the time that you launch or that you're trying to get out of your trip in accordance with the tides, the direction that you're trying to go. And then, of course, the whole other part of this plan is make sure you have the equipment you need and you know how to use it, right? So if you don't know, that's this whole point. We began this conversation with finding the information you need. Ask somebody or even call the manufacturer, call the place you bought it, wherever it is that you need to go to figure out how to use the things that you have and make sure that they fit you and they're appropriate for what you're doing. But also, you know, bring water, bring sunscreen, bring a hat, bring food, bring enough clothes to prepare yourself for getting wet. You know, even in the summertime, if you float in the water for hours and hours on end, you're going to get cold, you know, and certainly if it's windy, if it's raining, if it's in the off season, you know, having layers of clothes to keep yourself warm. Hypothermia is still a big deal, even in the summertime. So planning all these pieces of your trip, a float plan, certainly you can find them on ACA's website. You can find them on the Coast Guard website. You can find them on Respect the Wrap, you know, and other local organizations provide these resources for you so that you know what information you need to know and you can fill it all out. Leave that plan with somebody else so they know what to do if you get in a tough spot.
I didn't realize that a float plan is so all-encompassing, and that's good that you're thinking these things through.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, it gives you not only the opportunity to give that plan to somebody else, but to walk through kind of that outline of the things that you need for your own self and how you communicate with others about what do you need to bring with you and where are we going to meet and how long are we going to be gone. You know what? It helps you build a more comprehensive trip and have everyone else who is there educated about what's going to happen and have a chance to indicate that they are or are not comfortable with that plan, you know, and along the edges of that, you know, it's definitely okay to say, I'm in over my head and I don't want to go. You know, I see this plan. I understand the holistic nature of it now. And I'm not sure I'm ready for that, right? Can we either change and have a different plan or I'll come a different time, you know, when it's different. It really just helps make for better relationships when you have, you know, this camaraderie of people on the water or riding bikes or hiking or whatever activity it is, you know, everybody has an invested has an investment in the outcome and it being successful and safe and happy.
Yeah, and the fact that you are on the water and there are some variables there that you do need to take into account more than some other activities.
Yeah, certainly. And even if it's not a documented piece of a float plan, trying to, you know, be aware of your own self-care needs and then also others assessing their comfort. All right, and there are some people who can't swim, and that's okay. You don't have to be able to swim to go out on the river. You can wear a life jacket, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're overly anxious, you know, people who are afraid sometimes act erratically. They do weird stuff, you know? And so if you're out there with people who maybe don't want to be there but feel pressured to be there, or they get out there and realize, oh, I no longer want to be here, you know, that could lead to a bunch of dysfunction in the group and in the trip as itself. It could create other hazards and issues with what you'll have to deal with, and that's challenging. So some of that is just self-awareness and awareness of the others with you, and providing just the space that they need to process this. And sometimes that means not on the water. Do this in a swimming pool. Do this in a lake or a pond.
Yeah.
Find other ways to develop your skills and your comfort before you go out on a big trip.
Yeah. There's a lot, and especially the clothing part was interesting because we don't think of those things in the summer. You just think that's hypothermia and those kinds of things. That's a fall and a winter and a early spring kind of thing, not in the summer, Kelsey.
Yeah, well, I bring spare clothes every single time. And in the summertime for me, I wear like long sleeve, like SPF long sleeve, you know, shirts and things. I get sunburned like a crisp. I hate it, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't want, you know, to get sick or get sun poisoning or otherwise inhibit my ability to have a good time. And again, even in the summer, the water is warm, but maybe it's just me. I am prone to getting cold. And if I sit in the water long enough, I do get cold. Or if you're with children, sometimes, you know, their thermoregulation is unpredictable at times, right? You know, or if you sit in the shade or it begins to rain even in the summertime. So many different factors that nature, it's beauty, but it's still unpredictable. bring a fleece, a rash guard shirt, if you're one of those people, bring a raincoat, any of that stuff that you can put underneath your life jacket and stay insulated. It will help you out. Better to have than have not.
And I guess the other thing to remember too is don't pack your boat with too much stuff. You can overdo it.
Yeah, well, I think that all of these boats have weight recommendations, right? And it's usually, stamped on the inside of these boats, or certainly at the manufacturer or retailer where you bought it.
Yeah.
But, of course, bringing all of these essential pieces of equipment is great, but do you need a cooler? Do you need some of these other things? And so just keeping in mind that you can overload your boat and, God forbid you flip it over. If you don't have your things secured in a dry bag, in a dry box, bungee corded to the back of something, like, it can go everywhere. We call it a yard sale, but literally your stuff is floating away from you like it's all over the yard.
Yeah.
Right? And that is, causes an issue. You have to go after all that stuff or you lose it. So I think depending on the size of the boat that you have, you might have children, you might have dogs, you might have lunch, all these different things, and that's fine. But knowing what you've got with you, securing it to your boat in case you dump it over, will help keep it all together and organized.
It's been a fairly dry kind of spring and summer, but I guess the other thing is when the river does get too high, to know what's safe and what's not, and to know what your skill level is, and to just say, I'm going to have to wait till the water goes down significantly.
Yeah, well, goodness. The Rappahannock watershed is relatively small, and that means that when it rains, the river rises fast, and then it drops out fast. A lot of the times, though, there's a lot of silt, and there's a lot of debris and stuff that comes into the water, and it starts to turn that brown or slightly like red-orange color, right? And so it's sometimes hard to tell what the water level is when it's not clear, or if it looks dirty or what have you. But there's a great couple of resources here in Fredericksburg to help you figure that out, and is it appropriate for you? And you can find these river gauges, right? They're kind of like, a thermometer where they're straight up and down. The bottom section is green, the middle section is yellow, and the top section is red. And so that when that water comes into those various levels, it can be an automatic indicator to you, is it safe for me to be out here? And when the water level is in the green, it's safe for most recreational users. Yellow is definitely a point of caution. Beginners or people who are with large groups or beginners should not get into the river, certainly in the yellow, and most certainly not in the red. Yeah. That's not a safe place for anybody to be at that time. It's full of silt and debris. It's flowing really fast. Some of the features that you usually see on the river are flooded out. They're over blown over by a mass amount of water. But you can find these gauges down at City Dock. You can find one right off of Fall Hill Avenue, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There's one up at the Mott's Run public boat launch, and perhaps a few other places. And so knowing where those things are and actively paying attention. There's also, I think, some signs around town off of Riverside Drive and a few others that have informational kiosks and signs that educate you on how to interpret those gauges and what might be appropriate for you.
One of the places I discovered this year was I did not know that there was a difference between the Mott's public boat launch and the reservoir, and so the day we went out, I was at the wrong place initially. But I now know where the public launch is. I'll never ever not be able to find it.
Yes, well, I mean, we're really fortunate that the city and the county provide places like this for people to access the river and enjoy it. But in that case, Ted, when you were in the wrong place, I do think that may have fallen to your trip leader for a lack of adequate communication about where we were starting. So that falls upon me. But I think that is just a really brief illustration about how you can make all the difference about people's experience when you set all this information up ahead of time so everybody feels informed and ready to meet and ready to do all the things.
Kelsey Bracewell here from the American Canoe Association. We'll take a final break and wrap this up by News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Wow, great stuff this morning with Kelsey Bracewell with the American Canoe Association, AmericanCanoe.org. We've covered a lot of ground today, Kelsey. And again, thank you for what you all provide. And I guess it's good to know for people that need to have the instruction and the certifications and just want to have some training to check the American Canoe Association out. And do you spend a lot of your time certifying people or leading classes, things like that?
I personally don't. I kind of more do it on an informal basis, you know, like the trip that we were able yeah. to share. But I also kind of I do one-on-one classes most of the time.
Okay.
But we maintain a registry of thousands of instructors all over the country. If you need to connect with somebody one-on-one, but even if you don't have the time or inclination to that sort of formal instruction, there's lots of local organizations and resources here that you can utilize to gain some education and to have a more enjoyable time on the river.
Well, and there's between the American Canoe Association, there's like you said, there's Friends of the Rappahannock, there's River Rock Outfitter in town, there are just a number of different organizations around here that you can connect with, and there are all these Facebook groups of kayaking groups or canoe groups or all kinds of things.
Yeah, just like you said, I think that some of the Friends of the Rappahannock is an amazing organization that does so much to protect the cleanliness, the yeah. access, the wildlife that exists there on the river. Of course, they also lead paddling trips and other excursions to the watershed, which is really great. You can also volunteer with them if you want to give back to that. The Virginia Outdoor Center, which is located at the same address as Friends of the Rappahannock, they do lots of rentals mm-hmm. and help people have the equipment and the tools that they need, suggest different paddling routes and trips, you know, if you want to take your family and experience it that way. Of course, River Rock Outfitter here in town provides all the equipment you could ever need and some of the most knowledgeable, you know, staff and yep. and local people that you could ask for. There's other campaigns like the Respect the Rap campaign that talks all about our own hometown river, how you can understand it and how you can get involved, how you can enjoy it. But also, like you said, there's lots of Facebook groups, other meetup groups, like the Rappahannock Area Paddlers page, the Fredericksburg Kayaking Club. There's lots of different groups that you can go and ask the masses, you know, what are your favorite places to paddle? What's the best trip that you've been on? What's the best one for photography? The best one for kids? The best one at the beach? Whatever it is, there's lots of knowledgeable people that you can ask for advice.
And you're one of those knowledgeable people. Thank you for what you provide, and you have been in here a number of times doing that. What does you just told me where you're going this summer? It just fits you. What someone with the American Canoe Association, where you would go, where you would spend your summer vacation?
Oh gosh, well I spend my summer here and in the surrounding counties. Just I like to trail run. I like to paddle just about anything. I like going camping. I like all that stuff. But I happen to be going out to Glacier National Park in Montana as part of my summer. And I hike and I trail run. And there's a paddle. St. Mary's Lake is right outside of the place I'm staying. And I have a canoe there already. So you'll catch me out there too.
Great. Well, Kelsey, thank you again so much. AmericanCanoe.org is the website. And to have you all here and to have you as a resource in this area is just great. And again, if people are going to be using the river, I know you all encourage everyone, don't be afraid. Use the river, but be smart and wear a life jacket. Thanks for coming in, Kelsey. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.